Hi, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Blake.
And you're about to get jumped.
Welcome to episode 85 of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, a weekly podcast where we watch the anime so you don't have to.
But you should still totally watch the anime.
This week on Get Jumped, we're watching Hunter x Hunter episodes 79 through 82, where ants want names, the NGL is serious about not bringing any technology in, and Killua flips the camera upside down.
Yeah, and also, inside of these episodes, don't forget that my ants are jealous of these ants that have names. I've named these ants that live in my house. They're Steve, Steve 2, Steve 3. Really, they're like Steve is the motif of the naming system inside of my house. There are many, many Steves in my apartment. Let's jump in.
All right.
So well, I decided for when we came back and started doing normal episodes to do the most ridiculous opening that I could think of.
You did it.
But anyways, yeah. So hey, everybody. We are finally back from our coverage of Anime Central. We are still releasing coverage this week as you're listening to this episode. You may have noticed that there is already a new episode that has an interview. Some of the interviews are more wildly popular than others, but you should listen to all of them. The one I'm talking about is the Eric Vale one. It has like 400 downloads.
Oh yeah, I saw we got a shout out on Facebook. I don't know if you saw that last night. Some like anime news group and or Fruits Basket group posted about it and like posted the link to the episode and shouted us out on Facebook and was basically talking about how at one point in the episode we Eric Vale confirmed like the length of the redo Fruits Basket anime, which I guess is news. So it turns out that we accidentally got breaking news about the new Fruits Basket, which is
we nailed
cool.
Yeah. Other things that have happened, shout outs to a couple of different people that have reached out to us, both over Facebook. We got a new review that was very nice.
We really
appreciate anybody who leaves reviews. They're really fantastic people. The other thing that I wanted to give a shout out to is the voice actors that we interview at these cons are all fantastic, and we're really happy to have them. We haven't met a single person that's just like, this is a bad person. All of them have just been crazy nice.
Yeah.
And we also want to thank Anime Central for having us in. It was a really fun time.
Yeah, the voice actors sound nice because they are. And also, I mean, we interviewed more than voice actors at KumoriCon. So everybody that we met there was really cool. They're just like in a good mood. Everybody's having a good time and it comes through and that's great. And then, yeah, Anime Central, it was a really good event. Like, highly recommend. If you haven't been, it's worth checking out. And they took really good care of us. We got to do a lot of cool stuff. Everybody was super nice. It was great.
Yeah, it's a great way to stay in shape.
It's been like three episodes to use that joke.
Okay, anyways.
Also, if you're confused about the way that we're numbering these episodes, I'm going to do a reminder since our most recent non-anime convention episode was number 100, and I just said that this is episode 85. As a reminder, I am keeping two different episode number tracks. One is the number of episodes we've literally recorded, and then the number that I give at the top of our regular episodes is the number of regular episodes that we've recorded. So this is the 85th episode of anime episode coverage, but we also do other things, as you know, if you've been around the last week and a half or so, and so that's where that comes from, just in case anybody out there was upset about my numbers not making sense. Gotta defend myself. I have to put, I must protect this house.
Anyways.
don't you say let's that just, to me.
Let's just go ahead and jump into our coverage.
Yeah, I don't think I did a previously on section either, so I'm just going to wing it. Okay, so we got Hunter x Hunter is a universe in which there are some people who become what is known as a hunter. And that is basically a umbrella title that encompasses a lot of specific hunters. So you have like relic hunters that are like anime archaeologists, and you have like magical beast hunters that are like anime zoologists and that kind of thing. So they are all super powerful anime people because it's anime and that's cool. So they have this ability called Nen, which is their version of sort of utilizing their life force to do special powers, as you might see also, it's called Chakra in Naruto. That's a good example, and we do episodes about that, so it's an easy one. Really common concept in anime is that you do special powers through some sort of energy system, and Nen is the one in this one. Our main character is named Gon, and his best friend is Killua. They are traveling around together. Gon is basically on a journey to become a hunter, which he has successfully done, and to become a better hunter now, in order to figure out why his dad abandoned him as a baby to become a hunter instead, and to ultimately, hopefully, meet up with his dad. Killua grew up in a family of assassins, and they were not a super loving people. And with Gon's sort of sincere, effortless friendship, he's kind of got a new lease on life. So they're super tight and they do everything together and it's great. They are now met up with this guy. They thought they were going to meet up with Gon's dad, but Gon's dad basically tricked them and had them meet up with a protege of his, this man named Kite. Kite is pretty cool, stoic dude, and he has a team of researchers around him. They have been researching this quarantined animal called a chimera ant. The chimera ant's deal is that they have something called, and I fucking meant to look this up again, and I still didn't. It's called phagogenesis or phagogenesis. It's P-H-A-G-O genesis. And what it means is that when you eat something and then create an offspring, the offspring keep some of your traits, but also take on the traits of the thing you ate. And so through this, the chimera ants are a super dangerous species because they are really aggressive and fairly ravenous. So they have a sort of insatiable hunger for new traits almost. And so they have to be kept quarantined or else they will get out of control. So they're getting out of control, and the chimera ants have now basically taken a stronghold in a section of the world called the NGL. And I don't remember what it stands for, but what you need to know about it is that it is an area that has sort of cordoned itself off as a technology-free nation, and they are super damn strict about it, which we'll get into in specifics here in a second. And because of that, nobody in the NGL has really been able to get word out to the rest of the world that there are giant ant monsters killing and eating them. And so the ants are kind of quietly building up an empire and getting stronger and stronger. They have now become pretty much human-sized. They look sort of like anthropomorphic animal people, but with ant joints. So they all kind of have like insectoid arms and legs with like bug fingers, but otherwise look like humanoid animals. So they are super dangerous. They are going out and killing, like, I think it's at the start of the episodes, 50 humans a day. And they're bringing them back to their queen, who is currently incubating a king for the ants, which is her highest purpose. And she's also incubating 3 of his royal guards. So all of this is to facilitate that. Kite, Gon, and Killua are going to head to the NGL in order to investigate whether or not the chimera ants have broken out, as we know that they have. And that's going to lead us into episode 79.
Yeah. So episode 79 is going to be episode entitled No X Good X NGL. This episode is all about all the hunters that are going to be going to the NGL. You join Gon, Killua, and Kite, and they are running around with the people that are also animal morphed or anthropomorphed.
I think most of them are normal, but there's definitely one dude who's just like a bear human.
He's just a bear person. Anyways, there's also another group of hunters that we've seen before inside of the hunter's exam that are going to be running towards the NGL as well. I can't tell if they're already there or just going there because they're like separated from the same group.
I think that
they're in.
I think they beat our heroes there. I don't know if they're there at the start of the episode, but they definitely get there first because yeah. Kite says something about how they are one of the last groups to arrive. And you mm-hmm. kind of that stuff of them like getting ready to go into the NGL is intercut with this other group of hunters investigating what's going on. And one of the hunters is named Ponzu, and she's a girl that we've seen who has a hat that looks like Sora's hat from Digimon. And the other guy, I don't remember his name, and I don't know that they said it, because I was trying to watch for it, and I didn't catch it. But he's like a, I think he does like slingshots or something in the hunter exam, and he now has a Nen ability that we'll see that's kind of related to that. They're both recognizable.
Yeah, it's kind of a dope, it's a pretty dope ability, actually.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Anyways, so the next thing that is going to happen is a complete fucking breakdown of the characters where they are not allowed to bring any technology into the NGL. Before they can go in, they have to go through this really stringent process. I'm surprised that there wasn't a strip search plus a cavity search.
So that they kind of do a cavity search. They just use technology for it, which is ironic. But the NGL is basically a technological free zone. And I think the N stands for nature, because the point, or at least nominally, and we're going to find that the NGL has some sort of dark undercurrents in its creation. But what they stand for is a people that believe that nature is supreme. And so they will talk about how there's no technology allowed. In fact, to the point where if you have any implants, like if you got some screws put into your hip or something like that, you can't come in if you don't take them out. If you have dental implants, you can't come in unless you take them out. If you are wearing like a cotton poly blend, you cannot come in. You have to trade out your clothes. They've like a, I thought this was funny. They've got like a gift shop at the welcome section, so you can buy clothes that are okay for the area. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good fucking racket, huh? But they are so insanely strict. And then after all of this, basically half of the group trying to come in can't come in because they have synthetic stuff. Like one person is wearing glasses. And he's like, does that mean I can't bring in my glasses? And they're like, yes. I'm like, geez. So they're super strict. And then after you decide that you can make it through under those restrictions, you still have to go through an interview, a CAT scan, an X-ray, like all kinds of shit to make sure that you're not lying. And not only to make sure that you're not lying about having like implants and stuff that they don't allow, but the person that is like explaining what tests they're going to have to go through is like, oh yeah, people found that they could like smuggle drugs and guns in through their rectums. So we have to do these tests. It's just like, this is the weirdest country. And they only have technology in this one spot because it's used to check that technology doesn't make it past this spot. And they have like a communication center, so anything urgent that they need to communicate to or from the outside world, they do it from there. But that's it. Yeah. Everything else is completely cut off the grid. And they're really strict about it, and it's kind of hilarious.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the ants are going to be planning their attacks and just being basically awful. There's more plot relevant stuff that sort of happens in these moments where you're like meeting your band of chimera ants.
Yeah.
But really, what you need to know about them is that they're awful and they're about to go kill more people.
There's a central theme, which is that there's two ants. There's Colt, who's the guy that has the bird wings, who we are pretty sure is the reincarnation of the young child that was eaten, is pretty much explicitly confirmed in this episode. And then Peggy, which is like this humanoid penguin guy. And they're sort of the logistical head and the general of the group. And they have just, at the end of our last coverage, they requested names from the queen. And the queen was like, yeah, whatever, do whatever the fuck you want. And so they gave each other names. And they, along with the names, they are basically, Peggy and Colt are going to spend several scenes lamenting the fact that everybody seems to be a little too individualistic now. And they're kind of not doing what they're supposed to do, or they're going out of their way to kind of cut out on their own. And Peggy and Colt are expecting things to run sort of like a military unit combined with an ant colony, which is everything you do is done on orders. And if it's not ordered to do it, you don't do it. And so they're kind of fighting with that. And it's going to come up several times throughout these episodes, but it's always going to be the same problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's also a group of ants that is going to kill a whole bunch of drug dealers that are running around. I can't remember if this is the point where the koala bear ant gets the gun or not.
I think that's in but that's coming up, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's happening in this episode, these episodes, and they happen relatively like as one coherent story piece until it kind of breaks into the next fight.
I was thinking about this. There's like three things going on, and one is this one group of hunters that we've seen before coming in to investigate, and that is used to sort of show that the world is starting to realize what's going on and how dangerous it is. And then there's our main heroes, which is mostly a fight episode, and that part's really cool and fun, but is sort of the same thing, like they're starting to understand, but they're still more in the investigation phase, whereas the other group is sort of like in the, we need to tell someone about this phase. Mm-hmm. And then what honestly is the main focus of the plot right now is the ants. And you can kind of tell that the creator of Hunter x Hunter was just sort of fascinated with the idea of this society building from the ground up and the sort of challenges that they might face. So about 50% of all of the episodes we watched today are the group of ants learning new abilities, confronting new ideas, and dealing with an increasing level of individuality in their group and what their society is going to do about it.
Yeah. So at the same time, there are like just people running around getting murdered by ants. We're going to see a lot of this. They are mostly these drug dealers that wear little masks on their face, which I assume is so they don't breathe in the cocaine. But
yeah, you're not supposed to get high on your own supply, everybody. Don't do it.
Apparently, yeah.
That's the rule. So, those are the rules.
They're running around almost exclusively getting murdered immediately as they show their faces to these chimera ants. The chimera ants are getting smarter and more deadly, learning different abilities as they go through it. As I mentioned before, they are going to eventually start picking up guns and being like, we can shoot these guns.
One of them is just having a time of it. He's found two guns, and his favorite thing is to stand there and shoot them in different directions. Yeah. And yeah, we're also going to see the chimera ants start to not only have individual personalities and unique names, but they're also going to start attacking in unique ways. Most of the ants we've seen up till now have been sort of generic ant-like beasts. This is where they really switch into humanoid animals that are not really ant-like usually. And this is where they are going to start to get their unique abilities, and they're not like Nen abilities, but they are going to be unique anime abilities, and they're going to start to show up here, and then they're going to progress as the series goes on.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead and go into episode 80, Evil X and X Terrible. The last episode, the thing that we saw was the other group of hunters that's running away from this group of ants that they've seen. We see his ability, the main guy, I can't remember his name either.
Yurzu or something. It's not that, but it's close. But he's just the centaur guy.
So his ability is this, it's like rainbow arrow or something, and he names a color, and then he shoots an arrow at the chimera ants' heads, and it just turns into like a ball of fire and lights them on fire, which is a pretty dope ability.
I'm into it.
It It kind of bummed me out, though, that we don't see this person very much any like after this, because he says rainbow on his ability, which makes me think that he's got a power for each one of the different colors.
Yeah, he's got a minimum of 6 unique abilities.
Yeah, so anyways.
There's
also the worst flashback.
Yeah, so this episode's there's this trio of chimera ants. There's the centaur guy is the leader, and then there's this like ridiculous dragonfly woman, and then I think he's supposed to be a centipede. He doesn't look very insectoid, but he has got a lot of arms. And they are running around. They have gone rogue, and they want to kill all of the drug dealers, which they do. At the end of 79, we're going to see that basically there's just two guards and the leader of the drug dealers left, and they are locked behind a door. Episode 80 is just going to hard cut into the flashback of the life of the leader, and it's not super important. Basically, we're going to spend 10 minutes learning that his childhood really sucked, that he was kind of optimistic until he had an experience that showed him that, like, he used to believe that his dad cared for him, and then he finally realized that his dad didn't. This kind of made him ultimately decide that humanity is bullshit, and he wants to basically fuck up people's lives with drugs, and he decided to start the NGL so that he could do it in secret and protect his operation. So he is actually not only the kingpin of this drug cartel, but he's also the founder of this nation that is super strict about people coming in with things that are or were created by technology and won't allow it. And that way he can hide his group that is toting guns and manufacturing drugs in an area where they cannot be found or monitored. And
yeah.
So,
and the most obnoxious part about all of this is that you have this 10-minute fucking flashback, and then you just find out that he's already dead.
Yeah,
so why did we learn about him? We were
watching the flashback.
Yeah.
It's,
I don't know.
It's not filler, per se, because it's interesting storytelling, and the story that's being told is told fairly well. But in the context of the larger story, it is fully irrelevant. It does not matter. We don't need to know how the NGL got started. We already know the deal and why it's bad for the story we're telling now. We don't need to know why the drug cartel exists. It's a drug cartel. They just kind of exist. So it's like, God, I'm so torn on it because, like, it's not poorly done, but also it is. Like, for what it is on its own, it's pretty good. But for what it is in the context, it's so irrelevant as to have been arguably a bad idea to include in the first place.
Yeah. So the other thing that's going to be happening in this episode is that the chimera ants are going to slowly get wise to Nen. One of the chimera ants can actually see Nen. So it's starting to... This ball is going to start rolling, and it's going to just get progressively worse as we learn that the chimera ants are learning about Nen. Supposed to tell them.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite part of the arc, accepting the battle that we're going to get to today, which is real dope. But my favorite part is probably just the sort of snowball effect, like things spiraling out of control of the chimera ants. I don't like how they eat people. It's just not a concept that I enjoy, which I've discussed on the show before. And so that kind of gives me an upset, uncomfortable feeling while I'm watching these episodes. But if I can sort of like ignore that aspect, the sort of like society building and increasing in power that they have is fascinating. It's kind of sociological almost. And I really enjoy that stuff. So there's a lot of that going on in it. It's really cool. And so the Nen is another aspect of that. What we find is that the chimera ants have not encountered Nen before. And like I said earlier, most of the chimera ants we've seen up till now are drone type ants that look like giant insects. The ones that we're starting to see now are more look like humanoid animals with insect, you know, features. And so the drone ones are basically being taken out no problem by this dude with the rainbow arrows. But then he encounters one of the humanoid ones, and they can see the Nen no problem. And they're like, oh, that's interesting. You have a really strong life force. That's as compared to the people that we've been capturing and eating who don't have a strong life force. And that's really intriguing. And it's like they already start with the ability to see Nen, which, if you'll remember, Gon and Killua had to work really hard for. They spent half of an arc getting to that point.
Yeah.
Sure did. You're just speechless by how correct I am about all of this. Is that what's happening?
That's what it is. And don't get too attached to these.
Clash Royale while I talk.
That's not what's happening. What was happening was I was reading over the characters to try to, like,
you're trying to find really this guy's
find
name.
This fucking guy's name, and I could not. It doesn't matter because he's been murdered.
Real quick. I don't love all the characters being unceremoniously killed motif. It's the same thing that I struggle with Game of Thrones. And it's extra disappointing here because we just found out that this dude has a dope power and we don't get to see it anymore.
Yeah, so, surprise, he's dead. Also, his rest of his friends are dead as well. And Ponza just gets... She just manages to get a message over to Kite via her bugs, which I guess is her power, is that she's
pulling bugs. She has like a bee. I think she's kind of like I can't remember his name, the bug guy from Naruto. Like, she has like a sort of hive of bees that she keeps on her person. I don't think in her person like he does. Shino, that's his name.
Shino.
But I think she keeps I think she's... Shut the fuck. Yeah, there is tape. We are being recorded right now. So I think that, like, she has them, and that's her, like, Nen ability, is that she can have them do things. And then I found the guy's name. His name's Pokkle. P-O-K-K-E-L-E. Worst name ever. But he's dead now, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so
she's gonna get killed in the worst way, and honestly, I don't even want to talk about it because it is gratuitous.
Don't talk about it.
He's actually gonna get killed off screen. When we think he dies here, he actually is poisoned to the point of paralysis, and he's taken to the queen. And that's how she's gonna find that some humans have more nutritional value, which is the life force that's brought on by Nen activation, than regular humans, and they're gonna kind of turn their focus on that way. And because of phagogenesis, it's also going to lead to the chimera ants generating Nen abilities, which the ones that exist will also generate through proximity.
Yeah, I guess. Anyways, that leads into episode 81, The X Fight X Begins. This episode, we learn as well about the queen wanting more nutrition, but she's getting more nutrition from eating Nen users. And then we have a new character that is going to be introduced as part of the Chimera Ants. His name is Ramut. He is a very important... He's a very important character to the plot of the Chimera Ants. He is the one that is going to end up, a little bit of a spoiler alert for people that don't look ahead, he's very important to what happens with the Nen learning of the Chimera Ants. He is basically going to push through a wall because of what happens to him inside of this episode. He is also not gonna fucking listen to authority.
He is another sort of loud, brash, I want to go kill things because it's fun to do that, not following orders, going rogue Chimera Ant.
Yeah.
So and he what looks he's like gonna a, do... he's a humanoid rat with wings. So
yeah,
he's like a, what he's he... a specific type of bird that they identify in the episode, but I didn't write down, combined with a rat. But anthropomorphized, but with ant arms. So, anime.
Anyways, he is going to get into a fight with Kite, Gon, and Killua. After just running around looking to try to murder people.
Because I'm just thinking of the episode of The Office where Michael hits Meredith with his car. And he's like, God is dead. Maybe there's something we can pray to. And he just starts combining animals. That's the Chimera Ants. It's just Michael Scott's pipe dream.
Anyways, one of the things that we are going to see inside of this fight between Ramit and the group of three that we follow is that, number one, he is going to be he's very powerful, but he doesn't have any sort of Nin abilities, which makes him at a disadvantage to these three. So Kite is going
to those two. Because Kite is like, I'm not going to fight him. You guys have to fight him. Because if you can't fight him successfully, you have to go home.
Yeah. So, anyways. Well, Kite makes it also look like he could completely kill this guy with no problem.
I'm pretty sure that's true. Just like, and honestly,
yeah. And then he's just like, no, fuck it. Yeah, like, for real.
In hindsight, they should definitely take them out as fast as possible.
Yeah. Anyways, so there's going to be a fight between Gon and Killua and Ramit. What they're going to show inside of this fight is an ability that we've seen a bunch of times with Gon using his rock, paper, scissors attack to hit really hard on Ramit. But what we haven't seen yet is Killua using his like new powers of shooting fucking lightning from his fingers. Like,
so dope.
Like fucking Zeus.
So they do what ends up being a team attack, and they don't say that they're going to do a team attack, but I'm pretty sure they do it this way intentionally to get this result, which is Killua starts off with his lightning strike, and this electrocutes Ramot to the point that he is sort of paralyzed while the electricity kind of courses over and over through his body. And that paralysis is really important for Gon, because Gon's rock, paper, scissors attack has to charge up. And it is super powerful and devastating, but he's got to stand there and focus his energy into his fist for a second before he can do it. And so Ramot's just standing there being electrocuted while Gon stands right in front of him and charges it up. And he can't do anything, and Gon just fucking whams him in the stomach.
Yeah, so he is hurt really bad. He is throwing up blood. And the only reason that he doesn't just get straight up murdered by these two is that Colt is going to fly in and just grab him and take him away. Then we're going to have Ramit as well as the other ants revealing that they don't give a fuck about their orders. They don't want to listen to the queen anymore. They want to go out. They want to do their own thing. They want to be individuals. Also, Ramit is going to he full on just Hulk rages at all times. Anytime
his character's going to become more nuanced as the series goes, but he now is just rage always rage.
Yeah. Basically, all he does is just sit there and scream at Colt. And
his hair gets more and more messed up.
Yeah, and fall over and get, like, be in immense pain, but also start to realize that there's things that are changing in his body. And it turns out one of the things that has started to change is that his Nin has been activated from this clash that he has had with Gon's Nin ability.
Yeah, the ants are going to come to their Nin abilities in one of two to three ways. So one is the phagogenesis that I talked about, and that's because they're going to eat Pokal and a couple of other hunters that have Nin abilities, and then the queen's going to shit out Nin users. And then the second is that Ramot's Nin was activated by contact with another Nin user. And third, I think the Chimera Ants just have a sort of natural proficiency, and so they're going to be able to pick this up really quickly, but I also seem to remember that Ramot's going to kind of like shoot his Nin into them to help them activate, so I don't remember if it's really a third thing or if it's just sort of a 2.5 thing, but basically they have passed an event horizon that's going to lead to the Chimera Ants all being Nin users as well.
Yeah, and this leads into episode 82, Kite X and X Slots. This is going to be the episode where the best fight of the entire thing happens. And it's also going to take place inside of the drug kingpin's den, where he has been operating his, like, his drug muling and all of these different people sending out. They have all been murdered, all of the drug dealers, by this trio of ants that Centipede, the Centaur, and
Dragonfly Girl.
I know, but I was going to call her, like, the Mosquito Lady, because she reminds me of this Mosquito Lady from One Punch Man. I think you're right.
She's more like a mosquito.
Yeah, but she's very... very gross, and also, like, gratuitously fan service-y in a gross way.
And she also has one of those ridiculous, like, too absurd anime style laughs. Like, sometimes characters in anime, when they laugh, especially if they're villains, they laugh in a really affected, completely unrealistic way, and she is no exception. She's like, ki 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 ki, or something like that, and it's like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah. Anyways. So this episode is going to be broken out into three fights. They are going to break apart fights. And each one of them fighting another one. So I'm going to go ahead and take the first one, which is the battle between Gon and the Centipede. It's
really
good.
The first and the last one. It's the only fight that lasts for more than a minute.
Yeah, so this fight, Gon is going to land one good punch on him, but realizing that he is not able to break through the exoskeleton of this monster, so he comes up with a plan based around his ability to throw these, like, super powerful punches that he charges up. The Centipede is going to decide that, like, hey, I noticed that his fighting style is that he has to charge up and he can't do anything before that. So when he starts to charge up, he is going to go ahead and get behind him. But it turns out that Gon, as he has revealed in naming three different things, he has another of different things, which is his scissor attack. And when the Centipede tries to attack him another time, he's going to cut him straight in half.
Yeah, so Gon's ability is rock, paper, scissors. And right now we've seen him... Initially, we saw him try to figure out the other two abilities. But the rock, paper, and scissors are three different attacks. Rock is his main one, and it is... If you'll remember, Nen has, like, six different types of manifestations that it can have, and Gon's is an enhancer, which just means that you can make yourself stronger with Nen. And there's also emitters, and that's what scissors is, which is that you push your Nen out towards others. There's other types, but basically you have a main type, and then the types that are adjacent to it on this, like, hexagonal type chart are ones that you're going to be good at, but not as good at as your main type. And then the other ones you should probably not fuck with, because you're just going to be basically sacrificing power because you're not as proficient in shaping your Nen in that way. Long story long, Gon's enhancer ability is rock, which is his superpowered punch. His emitter ability is scissors, which turns his Nen into a blade that he's able to cut people with, and that is what he does, and he slices this dude right the fuck in half.
Yeah, kind of think of that as the Soul Sword from Yu Hakusho is what it reminded me of the most.
Yeah.
Which is a Kurabara's technique, which it reminds me, at some point we need to cover Yu Yu Hakusho, because I fucking love that show.
I'm into it.
Yeah, anyways.
Because I've never watched the whole thing, and I really want to, and I started rewatching it a little while ago, and I haven't kept up with it, so... This would be...
Anyways,
if you guys want us watching Yu Yu Hakusho, let us know.
Anyways, the next fight that we're going to see is between Killua and the Mosquito Lady. She is going to nail a stab of her poison into Killua. And
she's got tricks.
Killua, yeah.
Because
she
has stabby spines coming out of her mouth, but also a secret tail stabby spine. And so she... causes Killua to dab and dodge into the tail spine by pretending that she doesn't have it. That's not very clear. We don't know that she has it until he dodges into it.
Yeah. Anyways, Killua is going to reveal as a super amazing reveal for like the fifth time Killua's revealed this to somebody.
Yeah.
But he is immune to poison because he is from a family of assassins, which their part of his childhood has been, you know, terrible parenting. What happens is she goes in for the kill. He is going to jump around her head and turn her head all the way upside down. And there is a fantastic shot that I just want to talk about really quick. Inside of anime, there are artistic directors, but one of the things that the artistic director is really in charge of as part of the anime process is the cinematography. And he does a fantastic job of a camera trick that people have done in film for a long time, but I have never seen an anime other than this, which is the perspective of the character flips as if it's part of the camera shot in a really cool way. And then we zoom out to see that her neck has been broken and flipped upside down.
Her whole head is upside down because Killua twisted it. And this is how she realizes that he did not die. And that then he's like, yeah, I'm immune to all poisons and you're dead. And he's basically like, she's
your dad.
I gotta say, it's a little unclear if she would die from this. She's definitely incapacitated to a degree, but she's still conscious. And they make it clear in some of the other moments in these episodes and in this fight that the Chimerans are pretty resilient, and if you don't hit them in their sort of kill spot, they won't die. And so it's possible that she would recover from this. But Killua is not going to take that chance, and he's going to super behead her after giving her the option of kind of having a slower death if she doesn't accept that she's lost, which she does, and so he just beheads her in one fell swoop. He also does his cool assassin thing at the start of the fight, which is like writhing snake or something is the technique, where his arms basically become like able to writhe around like a snake, and he moves them super fast, and it's like a perfect defense that also can like slice right through things if you get too close to it. It's real cool. This is a great fight. And it's like a minute and a half long. It's so dope.
Yeah, the other fight that's going to happen is Kite is going to fight against a Scimitar. This is the most boring of all the fights, just because Kite completely outmatches this guy immediately.
Yeah.
The only thing that's kind of nuanced about it...
I was going to say the only good thing about the fight isn't that it has like cool moments as much as that it shows how cool Kite is because he's so powerful by just like, downing this dude.
It also shows how fucking cruel the Chimera ants are, because the centaur has taken two humans that he is treating like dogs, and he is just going to straight murder them in front of Kite. And he just proves how little they care about human life and only see these things as a food source and not as anything to empathize or connect with at all, which makes Kite realize how much they need to die, number one. And number two, after killing this, he realizes that they are close to the Chimera ant, like the main place where they're living inside of, I guess, the hive. And he is going to be like, we need to take them out as soon as possible. We need to get people to help take out these horrible monsters. Meanwhile, Ramit is going to fully awaken his Nin powers. It's basically him raging through the wall of not having powers, and then he's just like comes out the other side more powerful than ever.
Yeah, and so we got our heroes heading toward the center of the Chimera ants at the same time that one of those ants has now gained Nin abilities, and that's not a great situation, and we're gonna have to pick it up the next time we come back to this show.
Yep. So stick with us after the credits, and we will talk about what's coming on next episode.
Blake and Spencer Get Jumped is made by Forever Summer Productions,
with sound editing done by Rashad English of Plain English Productions.
He's our level 6 sound wizard.
Level up. Our podcast is ad-free, and we want to keep it that way. If you want to keep it that way, too, please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Follow us on Twitter at @BSGetJumped.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlakeAndSpencerGetJumped.
Or talk to us on Reddit at reddit.com/r/GetJumped.
If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Reviews help other listeners find our show.
New episodes come out every Sunday
on iTunes,
Google Play,
Stitcher,
Buzzsprout,
or wherever you get your podcasts from.
And hey, thanks for listening. Next week on Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, we're watching Soul Eater episodes 15 through 17.
I hope you weren't sick of screaming, because we're going back to more fights with Ragnarok.